Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another day we get to praise God for His grace. And today we're going to continue that with the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Do you remember what Epiphany means? Epiphany means that something gets revealed, right? So a light shines on something, and for us, as we've been celebrating, the light of Christ gets shined throughout the world. So the last few weeks, we've really been talking about how that gets shined, and that's through the Word of God. We talked about how Jesus fulfilled the Word, how we can be bold with it. Last week, we talked about God's gracious message that's in the Word and that it's for everybody. This week, we're going to focus on how God calls you and me to share that light. God calls you and me. Pretty gracious blessing in itself. So we're going to celebrate that today, and we're going to start with a very fitting hymn then. Hymn 556, Rise, Shine, You People. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God.
Quickly to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
Come, O come, my God.
Thank you.
be seated. The first lesson for this morning, as we take a look at what we are called to do, we actually go to Isaiah's first call when he was called to do this, and we might have the same reaction as Isaiah, but notice what the Lord says. From Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of the Lord. We sing the hymn as printed. Second lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Here, the Apostle Paul shows us how it works when we share the word with others, and also what word we share with others. From Romans chapter 10. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.' But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ, the word of the Lord. Now please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke chapter 5. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Luke 5. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's now confess our faith in the words about Jesus according to an ancient statement of faith called the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward for a children's message, meet me up here at the front step. How you doing, guys? I'm going to sit back here, so if you guys wanted to turn around and take a look. Can I get some volunteers out of you four? And I'm actually going to need all four of you. So it's really not a volunteer. You're going to do it. Here, can you take this? And what I want you to do is I want you to stand right here and face everyone and show the number, okay? And then you come on up. Grace, Zoe, come on up. Aaron, come on up. So just stand right there next to Adam, facing everybody, showing the number. There you go. Thank you. All right. So show them the numbers. Number side out. There you go. There's a problem here, though. They're out of order, right? Can you guys put them in order of the numbers? So we've got probably one would go first. Right? Come on over here. Oh. Boy, that is an issue, isn't there? There's no two. There's five numbers. You'd think one, two, three, four, five, but there's no two. How are you supposed to continue it? Well, sorry. It's right here. I'm going to need one more volunteer from the crowd. Stacy, come on up. All right. Hop up in there. All right, everybody get in order. So we got to have one, and then we have what number? Two, and then we have number three. Aaron, I think you got to come right here. All right, and then four, or the letter E, that works too. And there we go, one, two, three, four, five, good. All right, now everybody turn the sheet over and show everybody what you got. So turn it around, Aaron, there you go. Now what you have here is the exact order that Paul uses in Romans chapter 10, our second lesson. So in order for someone to call on God and worship him, what do they have to have? They have to have faith. They have to believe, okay? So in order to have faith, though, they got to come in contact with the message, all right? So they got to hear the message. And in order to hear the message, they need someone telling them that message to preach it. And in order for that to happen, what do we need, Grace? We need God to call us to go, to send us, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. Here's the problem. This is an easy, simple order, right? But guys, sometimes we forget number two, the second one. Sometimes we don't do our job in that. Sometimes we get afraid, so we don't share the word. Sometimes we feel like we don't know the word enough. Sometimes we feel selfish. Sometimes we get complacent. Stacy, why don't you sit down all the way and put down number two? How does this work? God sends us, but how can they hear? So what do we need? We need someone preaching the word of Christ to us too. Law and gospel, reminding us of what we're here to do, but then also that we're forgiven. And when we do that, guess what? We hear that message, our faith grows, and we're able to call on God. Rinse and repeat for ourselves, then we go. Then we preach, then they hear, then they have faith, and they praise God. Rinse and repeat, then we all keep doing it, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. The order is very important. And so it's important for us to do our job. So let's say a prayer asking God for help with that. God, thank you so much for sending us, for telling us to go and make disciples. Thank you for that privilege. Lord, forgive us for the times when we forget about that or when we prioritize other things or get selfish. Forgive us for those sins, Lord, and we know you do. Lord, now give us the strength to share that message boldly with others, and that message is about Christ. We ask all of this in his name. Amen. All right, you guys can hand me back your sheets and sit back down. Thank you. Well done. Thank you very much. We'll continue with our next hymn, which is hymn 771. God's grace is with you from God the Father through Jesus, his Son, received through faith created by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon text for today comes from Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your gospel truths. Amen. Anyone here like to go fishing? Yeah, a number of you. There are a lot of lakes and rivers around here where you can go fishing. There are a lot of lakes in the Midwest where I grew up. So naturally, we got a lot of chances to go fishing, get out on the lake. It'd be a lot of fun. I remember one time, I think I was like 7 or 8 years old, we went and visited some family and their friends, and we all met at a lake. They brought their boats and their fishing equipment, and I was excited, really excited to go out fishing with them. And they were excited too, because they were going to test out their own homemade lures. Yes, homemade lures. That's a thing. Didn't realize it was a thing until that day. They carved their lures out of wood, and then they painted them to look like fish, like with bright colors, kind of like a lure, which is also a thing, I guess. But if you're like me, I had thought, how is a wooden lure going to work? Wouldn't it just float on top of the water? That's what you'd think. And you're exactly right. That's exactly what happened. We were out on that lake for hours. And that's all those homemade lures ever did, was just sit there and float on top of the water. Every single one of them. They probably just didn't carve them right or something. But, you know, I'm not a master fisherman. But unless you're trying to simulate a dead fish, and you're hoping that that big walleye or northern pike or really have hankering for a dead fish that day, you're not going to catch much. Meanwhile, I was the only one that didn't have a homemade lure, so I had to fish with a simple worm. Guess who was the only one to catch a fish that day? It had nothing to do with me. It was simply what I was fishing with that made it effective. Now, you and I have been called to go fishing. We've been called to fish for people. And when we fish for people in evangelism, we do well to remember that fact. What we get to fish with. That's what's emphasized in this gospel lesson here. You'll see that in this gospel lesson, we get to fish with something special. We're not just called to faith, we're called to fish with the word of Christ. Now, if there's one main character in this whole gospel lesson, other than Christ, it's the word of Christ. You see it right at the beginning, even when it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. The people were crowding around him so much that he had to get into an empty boat, push out a little bit from water so that everybody could see him. There were probably good acoustics coming off the water, so pretty smart of Jesus. Surprise, surprise. But that's all just the setting. Really, that day, Jesus had something very special in mind for the man who was in the boat with him. He was about to do something very special with this man by showing him how special his word is. That man was Simon Peter. It was his boat, and he took Jesus out on the lake. This wasn't the first time Jesus and Simon Peter had met. Actually, Jesus had already called him to be a believer and a follower. In fact, Jesus had already healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. So Peter had already experienced the power and authority of Jesus' word. But now Jesus was really going to make it special and personal for Peter as he calls him into full-time service. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." If you're Simon Peter, an experienced fisherman, there's something about this request that seems a little fishy. he's probably got this part of him that's thinking, Jesus, I really don't think that's going to work. Why? Well, first of all, he says, go put out into deep water. Experienced fishermen know that deep water isn't really the best place to get a large catch of fish. It's the shallower water, especially with the nets that they had to work with. Secondly, it's probably about midday, right around noon. So that's where the sun is nice and high and bright. Experienced fishermen know best time to catch fish, nighttime, or at least late in the evening or early in the morning. But not just that. Peter tells Jesus, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Jesus, the fish just aren't biting right now. And if you know how fishing goes and that fish aren't biting, you know there's not much you can do. So there's got to be that part of Peter where he's just going, Jesus, I kind of do this for a living. And I really don't think this is going to work. But there's also that other part of Peter that knows that there's something special about this Jesus guy. He's already witnessed some of his miracles. Everybody praises him for preaching with authority. All right, because you say so. Literally, Peter says, on your word, I will let down the nets. So they did, and what happened? Surprise, surprise. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You think Jesus made his point about who he was and what power and authority he has? And then some. And Peter realized it, and he was overcome by it. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Peter recognized that, all right, if this man in this boat with me can do this, and he's done all the other things, then that can only mean one thing. This is the promised Son of God to come. And if that's the case, Peter was in big trouble. Because Peter knew what God's word said about sin and what it deserved. Peter knew that he had no business being in the presence of the Holy Son of God. He knew he was sinful. And so he tells Jesus just flat out, Go away, Jesus. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. But here's where Jesus' powerful, authoritative word rings out yet again. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Peter wanted Jesus to leave. Jesus dismisses that. He eliminates Peter's guilt with one simple phrase. Don't be afraid. Jesus' powerful authoritative command has at its core that idea of grace and forgiveness. Notice what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say, Oh no, Peter, don't say that about yourself. You're a good guy. He didn't say, Nah, Peter, don't worry. It's not a big deal. No, he says, Don't be afraid. That's grace. And Peter would learn a lot more over the next 3 years why he didn't have to be afraid. He'd learn about who Jesus was and what he was there to do. He would learn that he was not just called to faith, he was called for something very special. From now on, you will fish for people. That's quite the turnaround. From sinful man to fisher of men for God. That's a grace that was so overwhelming for not just Peter, but James and John too, that what more could they do than what they did? They pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Has to be a pretty powerful word to make three men leave their business and all of the equipment behind in order to follow a poor teacher full-time. We shouldn't be surprised at that. What do you expect? It's Jesus' word. It has a power and authority to it. And you know that. And you believe that. That's why you're here this morning. You are proof of the power and authority of God's word. And much like those people that were crowding Jesus at the lake, you have an appreciation for it too. But sadly, we don't always have that appreciation for it, do we? A lot of times, we really struggle with trusting the power and authority of Jesus' word. And it's sadly ironic, isn't it? A people who trust because of the power and authority of God's word, who struggle with trusting the power and authority of that word. Yet that's what we can do sometimes, especially with evangelism. Sometimes we think, oh, God's gospel truths aren't enough. So we have to use our own impressive arguments and our impeccable knowledge to help win people for Christ. No, 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 Lord. I'll use my own homemade lure. No, 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 I've got these amazing arguments that'll knock down every barrier to the gospel. I'll twist their arms so hard they'll be forced to believe. That'll catch them for Christ. We also do that when it comes to the time and place and with whom we're to share the word. It's like we think we know more than God. No, no, Lord, trust me, I'm an experienced human being. I know that this time in my life or in my friend's life or in the current cultural climate that we live in right now, we're not going to catch anybody with your word, all right? Trust me. Or, Lord, no, in this place where I am, where I'm living right now, or place where I work, place where I have fun, no, these aren't the places that you go fishing for people. Trust me on that one. All right, no, Lord, I know this person, and we're not going to catch this person, or this person, or this person with your word. I know what kind of person they are. Sometimes we think we know more about the power and authority of God's word than God. Now, I know we have to be careful, and I know we have to be wise when it comes to when and where and with whom we share God's word. I know that's very true. But I think we really hide behind that excuse of it's not the right time, place, or person more than we like to admit. We do that for different reasons. We do that because of fear. We do that because of selfishness. We do that because of a lack of confidence. We do that because of complacency. But one of the biggest culprits and why we hide behind that excuse is because deep down we don't feel worthy of God's word. Deep down, we struggle with guilt and shame. We know that being in the presence of God's word is going to reveal our sins. And so we have that tendency to go, no, go away from me, Lord. And we push his word away. We think that we have to be perfect people to share the word. And we hate having that guilt. We hate having that feeling of God's disappointed with me. We hate failing God. So we push it away. Or if we even think about sharing it with somebody, then we know that our life is going to be put under a microscope. And so we're going to have to live a lot better lives with those particular people, and that's a lot of pressure, and we feel like we can't do that. Even though it would be better to push the sin out of your life than the word. And all of that together is really evidence that deep down, you and I know that we are not worthy of God's word. We know what we deserve. We deserve to be cast away and thrown out of God's presence forever. We know deep down, while we might try to say, depart from me, Lord, it's God by his powerful, authoritative word who can say, depart from me, you who are cursed. But instead, he says, don't be afraid. He has decreed by his powerful, authoritative word, justify. You are not guilty. As he tells Isaiah, your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. By the authoritative and powerful command of the Father, the Son was sent to suffer in our place. And the Son, by his powerful word, said, your will be done, Father. And surprise, surprise, it was. So Jesus says, don't be afraid. Jesus says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. Jesus says, peace be with you. That's when you realize that the first catch God ever made in your life was you with his powerful, authoritative word. But it's not the last catch in your life. Because not only have you been caught, you've now been called to catch. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Literally, he tells Peter, you will be catching people. It's a promise. It's a fact. And you think that came true in Peter's life? You can just go as far as his first sermon, the day of Pentecost. Preached to all those people. How many people converted? 3,000 people. And you think we're evidence that that promise was fulfilled? Absolutely. And how? What did Peter do? He simply remembered what he gets to fish with. He used long gospel. He used the word of Christ. And you and I get to do the same thing. We don't have some homemade lure that floats on the top of the water. We have the live bait of the living and enduring word of God. Souls go crazy for it, like a worm on a hook. Souls need to hear that message. Souls get weighed down with guilt and shame and fear, and they need that message of don't be afraid and your sins are forgiven. And that's the message that we have. And we don't have some gospel net that you can only use in certain places or at certain times. No, we can use it wherever, whenever, with whomever. That's the power of this word. So we don't have to hide behind any excuse. And if you think that you have to leave absolutely everything like the disciples did, no, that was their call. And now if you want to become a missionary, a pastor, a teacher, great. But if not, God wants you right where you are. With whatever he's given you, and with whomever he's put around you. And do you think you're going to catch anybody? Absolutely. You will be catching people. Why? Because of the powerful and authoritative word of Christ. Now, when I was out on that lake and I was the only one catching any fish, everyone else decided, forget this, I'm just going to use a worm. Why? Because that was far more effective than their own homemade lures that were floating on the top of the water. So as we go out fishing, we remember the same thing. The effectiveness with what we get to fish with. We see its power in the gracious call we've been given. We see it in the glorious catch that it always brings. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. After all, it's the word of Christ. It's pretty powerful. So happy fishing. Amen. Please stand. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and may you share it with boldness. Amen. We'll now continue by singing the final two stanzas of hymn 560.
Thank you. seated as you support our fishing. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, but especially on our minds and hearts are Bev Heinitz, David Haugen, Andrea Lucklean, Judy Washburn, and Don Thorne. We also include a prayer of thanks and praise for birthdays and anniversaries this week. We pray the prayer of the church responsively, found on page 9. Dear Father in heaven, with your gift of a Savior, you restored hope for our fallen world and brought glory to your name. We thank you for the good news that you have reconciled the world to yourself through your Son.
Be with us as you give us opportunities to proclaim your worthy name and salvation in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
O Jesus, Lamb of God, we praise you for offering yourself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all. On the cross you declared the sacrifice for sins completed. At the open tomb, you assured the world that sinners are reconciled to God.
Be with us as you have promised, so that we may be bold and confident witnesses to our family and friends.
Holy Spirit, blessed Counselor, use your word of truth and power to break down the barriers to our witness, including fallen mankind's natural hatred for God and Satan's wicked work among us.
Empower us for the gospel and encourage us to be faithful, fervent witnesses to the people among whom we live and work.
God of all mercy, please hold the glory of your resurrected Son before the eyes of all who are faced with the weight of health challenges. In their difficulties, let your power and presence give them strength. Help us also to share that message of hope with them. As you're with us in the difficult times, you also give us joyous times as well, Lord. We praise you for the joy of those celebrating birthdays this week. Renew in them this week the power of your gospel, that they may continue to glorify you in thought, word, and deed. Continue also to show your grace to all who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Allow them to rejoice all the more in your love in Jesus and preservation through the Holy Spirit. Guide them to be good examples to everyone else about how you can provide a beautiful marriage in Christ. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send us by the power of your word into the mission fields beyond the walls of our church. Give us hearing ears and seeing eyes that seize the opportunities you set before us to be your witnesses.
Guide us, strengthen us, and bless us as we declare Christ to our world.
Amen. Continue with hymn 569, O Christ, our true and only light. Please stand for prayer and the blessing. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us for our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, you sent your one and only Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Help us to believe what the Scriptures proclaim about him and do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 562, I Love to Tell the Story. Pleasure worshiping with you once again. A few announcements for you. Bible study and Sunday school continue, of course. Bible study in here, be prepared to answer. Great chapters of the Bible. We'll meet again in the Luther Room. I think that worked out pretty well last week for our numbers, so we'll do that right across the way there. Quarterly potluck is today. God be praised. So get your stomachs ready. Get your hearts ready. Some good food and fellowship today after the second service. Also put on your calendars, we've got some Lenten services coming up in less than a month already. Coming up quick. March 6th is Ash Wednesday, and that'll start 6 weeks, so 5 weeks after Ash Wednesday too, of midweek Wednesday evening services to prepare our hearts and minds for the Holy Week and the Last Supper and the beautiful truths that we'll celebrate there. Second movie night will be 3 days after that, at March 9th. So this last one, I guess, was pretty good. I sadly wasn't able to make it, but I heard good things. This one's March 9th, Saturday at 6 p.m., and the movie's going to be Courageous. I hear that one's pretty good, so I'm excited for that. We have an update for you for the teacher call. We have received a letter from John Kalhanek, whom we called. He says, I am honored at the confidence that the members of St. Mark's have placed in me by extending me the call to serve as the 7th to 8th grade teacher and athletic director at your school. I greatly appreciated the many hours the members of the St. Mark's family spent on the phone discussing this call with me. Through those conversations, I can certainly sense a passion and commitment to your church and school, as well as the blessings God has given therein. The deliberation process was a blessing for my wife and me. I pray it also was for the members of the St. Mark's family. However, after prayerful consideration, I have decided to return the call you have extended to me. My prayer is that the Lord will soon lead the members of St. Mark's to the teacher he has chosen to serve within your school. Laboring in his service with you, Mr. John Kalhanek. So in light of that, we're going to have another call meeting. There was a little bit of a typo in the weekly news. Hopefully it wasn't prophetic. It won't be March 12th that we're having a next call meeting. We're having it February 12th. So coming up here on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., next call meeting. If you can't make it, please pray that God guides it as he usually does. Thank you. We'll now watch the Wells Connection for this month.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Pastors are people too. That might seem like an obvious thing to say, but it's a reminder that pastors have all the same life challenges as the rest of us. New pastors are often just getting started in their roles as fathers and husbands, and they may wear many hats in the congregation. They can work a lot of hours and be pulled in many directions. For some, it's overwhelming, and they resign from the ministry. In fact, since the 1980s, about 500 Wells pastors have resigned. But there is good news to report. The trend is now reversing.
Reverend Garrett Elford and his family have made a lot of moves. After 4 years at Martin Luther College, he moved to Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary.
Preaching the gospel in the synagogues and telling people.
Then to Texas for a year as a vicar. And eventually, on to Eden Prairie, Minnesota, for his first call as a pastor. Yet, in many ways, Reverend Alford's journey is just beginning. As a new pastor, he is well prepared in the Word, but there are certain skills that only come from experience.
When you first start with being a pastor, you have two thoughts at the same time, and one is, I know exactly what I need to do, and the other thought is, I have no clue what I'm doing.
Understanding how to handle the personalities on a church council, for example, can take time to work out. The stresses of sudden funerals, budget shortfalls, and meetings every evening can take a toll.
Pastors have particular things that they have to deal with that only other pastors are really going to understand.
For some, the stresses can become too much, and they resign. In the last 30 years, as many as 1 in 4 new pastors resigned their positions. The good news is, we know how to address this issue, and the trend is reversing. The key is this, a one-on-one mentoring program that pairs new pastors with their more experienced colleagues.
We have a structure in place in our church.
He's going to have burdens to bear, and he doesn't have to bear them alone. One of the strong points of the mentor program is you've got somebody to go to immediately to say, how do I get ready for this? What have you seen in your past? So a tremendous blessing to have somebody with that experience to help you.
Reverend Alfred's mentor is Reverend Stephen Schmiel. They meet regularly to talk through issues, provide support and accountability.
It is essential that anyone who is pastoring others be pastored. Pastors are not Christian rock stars. We're not better than anyone else. We have the same need for repentance. We have the same need to hear simply that Jesus died even for us.
We're all still on that path, following Christ, carrying our crosses, in need of encouragement, in need of accountability, in need of repentance and forgiveness.
Lay people also have a role to play in helping their pastor by respecting his private time, offering words of encouragement, and supporting the mentoring process. And perhaps most important of all, lay people should be involved in ministry, since God's work is everyone's work.
Since the mentoring program was formalized in 2011, about 9 in 10 new pastors have requested a mentor. The percentage of participating pastors who've resigned has dropped precipitously to near zero. It's a reminder that God has designed us for relationships, and when we support and encourage each other, blessings follow.
I can attest to that. When I left the seminary, went to India, my mentor was John Baer, who was a pastor in China, so he knew the international thing quite well, and he really guided me through some things. When I came here, that transferred to Pastor John Dermay in Reno. What a blessing it is. So keep all of us pastors, but especially those fresh out of the seminary, in your prayers. May God bless you this week as he continues to help you love to tell the story. Have a good one. Please stick around to greet one another.